Our state capitol report continues in this half hour with two takes on the latest rulings in the John Doe investigation into Governor Walker's recall campaign. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Monday, May 12th. We are going to hear from David Blaska first, who says that the halt of the John Doe 2 investigation is a huge victory for the First Amendment. We will talk with Jay Heck in about 10 minutes, who says that this whole investigation demonstrates the need to close phony issue ad loopholes. We wonder what you say for either of our guests at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. David Blaska is a former Dane County supervisor. His Blaska's Bring It blog can be found at ibmadison.com. He's also a regular on our Week in Review programs. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Joy.
So why do you call this a big victory for freedom of speech?
Well, I've gotten to the point, Joy, where the more we try to regulate speech, the worse off we are. And I've really come to the point where I don't trust the regulators. The system we have now is maybe messy, but I trust the people to be able to sift and winnow for themselves, not the so-called speech police. I noticed that Jay Heck is a great guy, by the way, and I've been on his panels before. He says we got to close the loopholes on phony issue ads. Who says they're phony? Jay Heck, but he's gonna prevent me from hearing, from getting that side of the issue.
Yeah, he's gonna say that he calls them phony because they're really vote for so and so, not really. This is the issue you need to know about.
Okay, I don't care. So what? It's speech. The Constitution, the First Amendment talks about speech, not speakers, but speech. This whole thing about illegal coordination. What is coordination, Joy? It is simply communication. People are talking to each other. I've got to ask the next time the daily newspaper endorses a candidate, did they coordinate with that campaign? Did they talk to that campaign? Did they talk to the candidate? The things that they do as a matter of course, newspapers, other broadcast media, we're criminalizing here with pre-dawn raids, with flashbang, and keeping people, and then swearing them to secrecy under penalty of law, lest they speak. I mean, this is Draconian. It's Stalinist.
Yeah. So you see nothing wrong with, a campaign treasurer or a campaign communications coordinator dealing with third-party groups in this, and saying, okay, well, let's do this ad on this issue, or let's make sure that we're on the same page here, and you spend money on our behalf, even though you're a third party.
Joy, a third party is another word for citizen.
Oh, that's I'm just saying you don't see a problem with that. That's what
they're all citizens. I mean, if I say to you, so I call myself Dave Blaska's Rangers, and you're Joy Cardine's spelunkers. And I talk to you and I say, you take this issue because you know more about it and you've got some people there, and I'll do this issue. Great. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
It's all free speech.
Do you have any problems with a federal judge putting an end to an investigation being conducted by state prosecutors?
Well, I think the Constitution and the First Amendment trumps all of that. We've had many cases, 14th Amendment cases, on the same thing. Because Wisconsin has chosen to criminalize speech does not exempt, Republican convention aside, we have not yet seceded from the union.
I'm sorry, David. It's okay because of the free speech rules or violations involved. You think it's okay for the federal?
You can't say that this is a state issue here. Meanwhile, you're willy nilly. I mean, literally, taking people and getting the phone away from them so that they cannot call their lawyer. Because Wisconsin is some prosecutor, a rogue prosecutor perhaps, has chosen to go off the beam and criminalize speech, that he does not get an exemption from the Constitution of the United States.
You're specifically talking about the search warrant that was executed on the homes of some people involved with the John Doe investigation?
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, so that's what you mean by taking the phone away?
Yes, yes. So the people, and not only that, but they were, you know, under penalty of law. They couldn't complain about it. They couldn't say, look what happened to me. I got my computer was, you know, I hope that when these sheriff's deputies came in under orders from the prosecutor and they seized computers and whatnot, I also hope they seized a couple copies of the Constitution and took those as contraband.
Yeah. But the judge also did say, you know, these people found a way to circumvent campaign finance laws, and essentially that's okay, right?
Yes, it's because the laws, I mean, these laws, especially if you look at what the Supreme Court has been doing, and there's been decision after decision in favor of speech, that is, I think Judge Randa made some law here that will be upheld by the Supreme Court. He made some new, you know, a great statement. He said, over time, many justifications have been given for restricting speech, you know, equalization of viewpoints, combating distortion, leveling electoral opportunity, da-da-da-da-da. All of that is tremendous mischief-making, and it puts what ought to be the rough and tumble of a political campaign where all voices are heard to varying degrees. There's no equality there.
Yeah. How do you feel about Judge...
It's overregulated.
How do you feel about Judge Randa ordering the prosecution to destroy the evidence?
I think that was an overreach. Because there's going to be an appeal. But I think to the extent that he said you can't use this anymore, that would be correct. But, yeah, destroying it. And I think that's been, even that today, that's been stayed.
Yeah. So, where it stands today is Judge Randa once again halted the John Doe investigation with a second ruling, calling the appeal frivolous. And but then he did. He agreed that he should not order the destruction of evidence. How do you see this story playing out, David?
Well, Joy, we're 3 years into this. Yeah, I mean, this Inspector Javert kind of drip, 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 and you know, talk about a chilling effect on speech. I think it, first of all, exonerates and casts into. I think makes people think a little bit about some of these. Political speech laws. I've said many times that we regulate political speech much, much more than we do pornography. So, yes, I think this will go to the court, the Supreme Court. I think it'll be largely upheld. The trend here is to get government out of the business of deciding who may speak, when they may speak, and how much they may speak.
Yeah. And what do you mean it's been going on for 3 years? This was an investigation into the recall campaign activities.
Yeah, this is John Doe 1, John Doe 2. So you tell me. I mean, they're building on it's, you know, you can call it what you want to. One led to the other. It's been going on since 2011.
Yeah. So it is John Doe 2 that that the judge was ruling on, but you're saying that came out of John Doe 1.
I am, and it's the same. Just John Chisholm, district attorney in Milwaukee County. I mean, that's the locus of it. So sure, it's. I mean, somebody. I mean, obviously, somebody left the door open, and he went in, and he never left. He's the, you know, it's the guy that came to dinner and never left.
Yeah. What do you make of the critics who say that Judge Randa is letting his own political ideology influence this decision?
I don't know. I mean, it maybe is, Joy, and I honestly don't know if it is or not. None of us can know that. I think he's right on the law. I mean, I'm not an attorney, but I did study in journalism the First Amendment and constitutional laws as it affects free speech, and I think he's right on the law. I think this is what, you know, the founders expected and indeed endured a raucous give and take politically. I mean, some of the stuff that was just raunchy in the accusations that in the mud that went back and forth, and newspapers wholly owned by a political party. So I don't think that's we're trying to we're regulating the wrong thing. And I think we'll find that out. I trust the people ultimately to decide and to cut through the clutter. And here in Wisconsin, you're on the campus there where that plaque reads that the people shall sift and winnow and decide the truth for themselves, not to have some arbiter decide what they may learn and what they may not.
Maureen in Mineral Point is with us. Hello, Maureen.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. It seems to me that the deck is kind of stacked here, and I have some firsthand experience with this. If I owned a local business and I were to say things about my competitor that were just a little bit true but mostly false, then I would very likely end up in court and be sued. But as we have seen, and I was a candidate for the 51st Assembly, there was a whole lot of money spent by these soft money groups or dark money groups, whatever you want to call them, that vastly distorted my record on the Mineral Point School Board. There's no way for me to come up against that giant. First of all, I raised over $60,000, which was a pittance compared to what I was against. There's no way I could afford a lawsuit against this group or would do it, and they know that. So it seems to me that if free speech is the issue here, we should at least require that speech be accurate.
Mm-hmm. Well, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? I mean, I honestly, what is accurate? That's we're gonna let the people decide that. I'm sorry you lost. I lost an election too, and I was outspent. And wrong things and untrue things were said about me. That's why on that last few days before an election, you're ready to roll with a counterpiece. If you planned your campaign correctly, it's not true that the big spender always wins an election. Who is the former, she's now head of Hewlett-Packard, Meg, in California, vastly outspent Jerry Brown, but lost the election. I mean, she's a billionaire, with a B, billionaire. She lost. So it's not true that money wins elections every time. It does sometimes, but not all the time.
Yeah. Before we let you go, David, do you see this? The John Doe situation affecting the gubernatorial race in any way?
Well, I think this lifts the lid off this whole thing. I mean, when you think about people come pre-dawn raids with bright lights shining on your house. I mean, hello, neighbors. I got a heroin ring here. We're doing things here that, are they investigating an imminent act of terror? No, they're investigating speech. So I think people see that. And I think this lifts the cloud, which, intentionally or not, this prosecution was placing on Scott Walker's reelection campaign. I think intentional. No one will ever prove that. But certainly that's the effect. And it was a desired effect by many people.
Yeah.
Talk about freezing and chilling speech. It certainly did on Eric O'Keefe, he says. You want to associate with someone who's under investigation?
Yeah. So you
year
so,
after year after year.
Do you think
at some point they've got to say there's been a crime here and we're going to prosecute it? The investigation can't go on years and years. That is just so off the scale.
Well, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for being with us.
You bet.
David Blaska, former Dane County Supervisor. And author of Blaska's Bring It blog. We'll get another perspective, another reaction to the John Doe rulings in just a moment. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is our State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network. We will now get another reaction to the John Doe rulings from last week. Joining us now is Jay Heck. He is the Executive Director of Common Cause Wisconsin. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning, Joy.
So what is your reaction to the halting of John Doe 2?
Well, myself included, a lot of legal experts have contended that Judge Rudolph Randa has gone into unexplored territory, obviously gone far beyond where he should have gone with this case, and basically has made a whole set of findings based on political philosophy rather than findings in the law. And, you know, I think to begin with, you know, this investigation is not some partisan witch hunt. This is conducted by five district attorneys, two of which are Republican. There's a special prosecutor, Francis Schmidt, Schmitz, who was a Republican and said he voted for Walker. And what they're doing is they are investigating a violation of Wisconsin's law, which is illegal coordination between outside spending groups, including these issue ad groups, and candidates. And so that's what the investigation is all about. And so what Judge Randa has done is he has, as Sean and others have mentioned, committed an unprecedented action by stopping the criminal investigation in the middle, then ordering the destruction of evidence, and then basing his decision for ending the investigation on the basis of political theory that goes even beyond what the United States Supreme Court has ruled in a couple of recent landmark campaign finance cases. So I think most people I've talked to who view this think that he's stepped way over the line, and that the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals will likely reverse him when that appeal process happens, which we expect will be very soon. So that's kind of where things stand. I think Judge Randa has injected his own political philosophy in this decision rather than settled law. And you know, again, in Wisconsin, this dates back for many years. Outside groups, it's simply illegal for them to coordinate activities with candidates, because it gives the candidate who they're coordinating with an unfair advantage. And, you know, secret coordination like that could be potentially corrupting. The United States Supreme Court has ruled continually that corruption, or the appearance of corruption, is the grounds for sensible regulation. And my friend David Blaska, oh, go ahead. You can ask a question.
I was going to say, David Blaska did call Randa's ruling a victory for free speech, and said,
right,
let's sift and winnow, and let these groups spread their word.
Well, David's broad patriotic statement would have a lot more credibility if he were to support what we support and others, which is the disclosure of the folks that that create that robust speech that he's talking about. And, you know, what we've been pressing for years, and what ought to happen in Wisconsin, is that these groups that speak right before an election but decide that they're not going to use a couple of what we call magic words, what's called express advocacy, vote for, vote against, defeat. If they say, you know, and you know what an issue ad is, it's, you know, Mary Smith wants to pollute the environment and destroy education, call Mary Smith and tell her you're not happy with that. Well, under current Wisconsin law, that's not considered a campaign communication, even though clearly it is. It's meant to influence the outcome of an election. And so if you had disclosure of the donors, then I'd be a little more sympathetic with David's statement. But he and people like him, they think anonymous speech is perfectly fine, and that the voters ought not to have the right to know who those donors are. It's hard to sift and winnow when you don't know who's behind the money.
Yeah, well, what about him? He also said, big deal if there's outside groups that do these issue ads. You call it a phony issue ad. It's just information.
Well, again, I have no problem with it, but we deserve to know who's behind the money. I mean, there's always this straw man that's set up that reformers somehow want to, you know, abridge the First Amendment and cut off all speech and not allow people to speak. On the contrary, we want everybody to be able to speak, but we also want people to know who is speaking, who's the money behind this kind of speech. And, you know, Judge Randa has gone even beyond the U.S. Supreme Court. in the Citizens United decision, the court ruled 5-4 to open up the floodgates of outside money into our elections, both national and state elections. The same court on the same day, on an 8-1 vote, said now that we've unleashed this money, it would make sense if Congress and states passed strong disclosure laws so that people have the ability to see who's behind the money. Justice Kennedy and Justice Roberts, two conservatives, came out very strongly in favor of disclosure. So the disclosure aspect of this, I think, would help in the sense that people would have more of an idea who's trying to influence their vote at election time. But with regard to holding this investigation and, calling this some kind of a partisan witch hunt intended to stop speech, it's nothing of the sort. These special prosecutors and district attorneys were investigating a violation of Wisconsin law. Now, some people may not like that law, and I suppose that's one of the reasons why they're suing and to stop this investigation and destroy the evidence. But that's really not the basis for ending the law in Wisconsin because you don't like it. So, I am confident that that the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals will likely reverse this outlier decision by Judge Randa.
Yeah, and in our final less than a minute, our Week in Review guest on Friday said this is going to end up before the Supreme Court. Do you think that's going to happen?
Well, it very well could even if the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals reverses Judge Randa, then certainly Club for Growth and those folks could appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. But I have to tell you, the decisions that the U.S. Supreme Court has made regarding coordination indicate to me that they would reverse Judge Randa as well. Yeah. So, yeah. Again, I think this is really a pretty far-out decision. Let me just end by saying disclosure's good, sunlight's good. Let people know who's behind the money, and then they can make the decisions that David Blaska and I agree.
We will leave it there, Jay Heck. Thanks very much. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.